Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santikos studio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. On Friday, Uvalde will commemorate year two after the shooting at Robb Elementary School. 19 students and two teachers were killed that day. The grief from that loss is compounded by the anguish and frustration by the botched police response and the alleged state of Texas cover-up, which has now gone on for 24 months, and it will continue. At the center of it all has been the local newspaper, the Uvalde Leader News. One of their own staffers, reporter Kimberly Rubio, lost her 10-year-old daughter Lexi that day. ABC News has produced a documentary, Print It Black, on the Uvalde newspaper and how it was impacted by the shooting and then covering the fallout controversies. We're joined by two of the producers for this special documentary, Megan Street and Tomas Navira. And welcome, Megan and Tomas, to The Source.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So I'm going to start off. I'm going to play the audio of the trailer that has been posted online for your documentary. Let's give a listen.
I have covered child homicides before. I have requested autopsies. And now my daughter's autopsy will be made public one day. May 24th, 2022. The day an 18-year-old armed with an assault-style weapon murdered my youngest daughter, Alexandria Lexi Rubio.
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
I want my daughter back. If I can't have her, then those who felt her will never know peace.
They're our neighbors, they're our friends, they're the people that we go to the grocery store and the post office with. Did you just stand there and let my friend's child die?
He's not just investigating one lieutenant. He's investigating the whole police department.
We're trying to get answers for the community at large, even if maybe some of the community doesn't feel like they need those answers.
There's this very strong attitude of, hey, you're just ruffling feathers, you're just creating more problems, you are the problem.
I am disgusted by this community.
I worry about my staff. I can tell that they're feeling it, and I hate that for them.
This community, whether they like it or not, we're all tied together.
This is my cousin.
This is my sister's.
Everybody wants to kind of go back to normal, but it's never going to be like that.
Megan Street, a lot of people, we've been covering Uvalde for 2 years. We think we know the story, but this documentary that you produced, Print It Black, it provides the story, but from a different angle. It's very close. It's very personal. Yet at the same time, stuff that we really hadn't experienced before. Did you know that you were going to be able to provide a fresh look at this tragedy with this way of telling the story?
I think that one of the goals that we had in partnering with the Uvalde Leader News was that we would be able to get to the angle of covering the community's response. Throughout the year, I was there with Uvalde 365 and ABC News. It was really difficult to get people in the community to speak up. What we found through the newspaper is that they know the city of Uvalde the best. They were able to talk about the people who they work with, who the players were in the story. They were able to tell us exactly what was happening. And I really think this documentary is different than any coverage on Uvalde because of that.
And Tomas, the story of Uvalde was not just a story of a mass shooting, although that would be enough. It continued to develop along the way. Can you talk about that coverage?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, throughout the year, there were several developments that happened. Some of the focal points that we see in the documentary revolve around the then, you know, school police chief, Pete Arredondo, who a lot of the families blamed for what happened on May 24th, 2022. There were also developments in other positions in the community. You know, the superintendent eventually resigned from his position on the school board, and that really led to a lot of tension in the community. We see in the film, you know, moments where the families who have been fighting for accountability, and when I say families, I mean those who lost their loved ones in the shooting, you know, they're told by some in the community to move on. And you know, that's sort of some of the results of what many perceive to be a failed law enforcement response.
Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Call in and join the conversation. You got a question or a comment about the coverage, about the fallout from Uvalde, about how the town continues to be struggling, as we heard today, with the breaking news about these lawsuits and these settlements. Give us a call, 833-877-8255. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. So Megan Street, as we heard today, with this new development that 19 Uvalde families announced a settlement with the city and filing a lawsuit against state law enforcement, the DPS, and the school district, it shows you that, I mean, this story continues to unfold. There's still story to be told.
Oh, I think that this story will go on for a while longer. I'm glad for the families that they were able to get at least something resolved today. And I know, having spoken to some of them, this is one thing that they've been aiming for a long time. This story, I don't think, is by far over. I think that this will go on for several years. And I hope for the families, though, that they can start to seek some closure on this after today's announcement.
Tomas, have you covered other mass shooting events? And you know, can you compare it to what Uvalde has been like?
This is actually the first mass shooting I've covered. But it was deeply impactful. I remember, you know, first learning about when it happened and having so many questions about what happened, and also just seeing how so many of the victims were Latino. They were very young children. It really resonated deeply with me as a Latino, and I knew immediately that I wanted to cover it. And it just so happened that I started at ABC News at the same time, and this project was forming and getting off the ground. So, you know, this is my first mass shooting. I doubt it will be the last one that I cover, but it was deeply, deeply impactful.
And Megan, have you covered mass shootings before?
I have, actually. I was with ABC News 25 years ago when Columbine happened. Mm. So I helped to cover Columbine on behalf of Good Morning America, and then received a call from ABC News on the 24th to go to Uvalde, which happens to be my family's hometown. And so I went back to Uvalde for the year to help with the coverage of ABC News. I really think what makes this school shooting different than others that I've covered over the years is because of the police enforcement response. Up until now, we really hadn't seen a question, at least this big, of how the police responded to this. And so this really started to tear apart the people in the city, just because the other school shootings didn't have that kind of division form.
Yeah, this was the third mass shooting that our newsroom had to cover. We covered Sutherland Springs, also El Paso. We were a big part of that coverage. And then we had Uvalde, and we're always thinking about what's going to happen next and how do we get ready for that. I mean, it's just astounding. And the wear and tear it has on the reporters and the staff and in the newsroom. And y'all, you provide a window into that. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Source continues right after this.
Support for TPR comes from La Fonda on Main, honoring the authentic cuisine of interior Mexico since 1932. Open for lunch, brunch, and dinner. More information at lafondaonmain.com.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Painted Black, a new ABC documentary taking a deep dive, comprehensive look at the Uvalde School Massacre, the Robb Elementary School Massacre, through the lens of the local newspaper, the Uvalde Leader News. And there's new information, new context, new emotional vibe to the whole tragic event. This will be airing. It premieres Friday at 8 p.m. on ABC News Live, which is their live stream. Also, it'll be available on Hulu. You can call in if you've got a question or a comment, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, Megan Street, you said this is, Uvalde was your hometown, so you had a feeling for this community already?
I did. I already, I met my husband in Uvalde. I was married in Uvalde. And so when I was asked to go to Uvalde, it was deeply personal to me this time. It wasn't the first time I covered a school shooting, but it was the first time I had covered a school shooting being a mom myself.
And this was an opportunity, Tomas, you know, when you watched the documentary, in a way, ABC News kind of turns the camera on itself, asks the question, you know, like they're talking about these national news outfits storming into this small town and overwhelming the community and being very aggressive and getting the story. What did you take away from that?
You know, I think one of the things that stood out to me was the importance of community journalism and also the perception that the local journalists at the Uvalde Leader News have of the national media. The publisher and owner, Craig Garnett, published an editorial that we see in the film. And, you know, the headline is something to the effect of, you know, media invasion lands with practiced ferocity. And in the film, we see a lot of visuals of, you know, the national media coming in with their tents and their cameras and setting up, you know, all these big trucks and, you know, having trash on the street. And for a small town newspaper, that can be overwhelming. It also, to me, the film highlights the importance of local journalism and how so many of the events that unfolded in the year that we were there and that continue to unfold, they have the best knowledge of, and they have the best ability to sort of tell that story because they know the key players, as Megan mentioned earlier. So, definitely we did turn an eye and turn the camera on the national media. But I think, you know, the focus is squarely on the Uvalde Leader News, their work, and the importance of local journalism.
Megan, get your reaction to that as well, because as you know, the expectation is when you're working for the networks, when you go into the field, you got to come back with the story. You don't take no for an answer. You have to be aggressive. This is, but, you know, at the same time, you know, you are, you know, imposing yourself on these, you know, these folks who are dealing with the worst day of their life.
Two things that I would say is one is that I think that Craig's team has also been aggressive in really going after this story as well. I think on behalf of the families, they really were in search of accountability. And two, and this is a question that you can ask Craig, I think you're going to have him on after us, but I think that in talks I've had with him, but I'll say for myself, I think it took both local and national media to really crack open the story. And I think had there not been a combination of both national and local media, I'm not sure that we would have gotten to the facts as we have them today. And I said, so I think in the case of Uvalde, it worked for us both to work together. You know, I don't know whether that's the case in other school shootings, but for this one, I feel like that really is what cracked this case open.
So, Megan, what was it like to approach Craig Garnett? As you said, we will have him on in the second half hour. I'll get his perspective, but ABC News, y'all decided you were going to stay in Uvalde. You weren't just going to parachute in and then evacuate as soon as the story, the glitter fell off the story. Y'all just kept going at it. And so y'all decided, I know y'all, there was coverage of the local football team and other things that y'all did. Then y'all decided, let's cover the newspaper. What was that like to decide to make that decision?
I think the pitch to Craig was unique. I think he was interested once we went in and sat with him and talked to him a little bit about our goal for the full year. He roped in the rest of his team in order to sort of make sure that we could take it slow. We did end up doing an initial 2-week test. I think Craig would say and has said publicly, like, there's no journalist that really wants the camera turned on themselves. And so we wanted to make sure that we entered this and made everyone feel as comfortable as possible. When you embed at a newspaper organization, the cameras are very difficult to hide. And so we did a 2-week test at first just to make sure that their work would not be disruptive and to see how we were going to mesh with their team working in person. And after the 2 weeks, we got the full green light from Craig and his team to move forward with the documentary.
And so, Tomas, you know, part of the challenge for covering a tragedy like Uvalde is keeping it fresh and trying to cover this 2 years later. Here we are with this commemoration, and not seem that we're trying to be exploitative and just coming back and retelling, rehashing the same story over and over again, finding new things to tell. So did you find that to be, like, I know that's something that we do here in our newsroom. Like, okay, we know we need to tell the story. How do we make it fresh? What can we do? Did you have that process?
Yeah, I think, you know, one, approaching it through the lens of the newspaper, like Megan said, is a very unique take on something that has been covered around the country and also around the world. But I think the other thing is, you know, there are fresh ways to tell the story, because the story is not over. You know, there's developments that are still ongoing even today. You know, we had breaking news today with the settlement that the families announced. You know, in telling this story specifically, we wanted to make sure that, you know, showing the reporting of the Uvalde Leader News was at the center of the film. So we use really dynamic graphics. We use really intimate filming. We made sure to really center the people and make sure that, you know, even though the national media might move on at a certain point, or any media might move on at a certain point, you know, these people's lives are still affected, and their lives don't move on, right? They don't move on. They keep moving forward, but they will forever be impacted by this tragedy. So I think it's important to continue to tell these stories and to find unique ways to do it.
And Megan, your documentary, Printed Black, you do get into a part of the story that needs to be told, is that not everyone in Uvalde wants their town to be remembered for this shooting. There are many people that want to say, listen, I'm sorry what happened to you or your family, but we need to move on. And that's not what, of course, what the families want. They still need answers and accountability, and that creates conflict. And of course, as news producers, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to find a conflict and tell that story. So how did you do that?
I think that we did that by staying for the full year. I think if you were to parachute in and parachute out of Uvalde, you might not have seen the conflict as thick as what we were able to capture with our cameras. But because we had producers and camera crews that were in and living in Uvalde, we had an office that was not far from the Uvalde Leader News, and it was stocked with cameras. We were ready to go at any moment to catch anything that was happening there. I think had we just come when somebody called us or said there was happening, we wouldn't have been able to see what the conflict was like locally.
And so in Printed Black, the title, Tomas, comes from what the newspaper decided to do when they printed their first edition after the shooting. What did they put on the front page?
So the front page, you know, traditionally in newspapers, they'll have, you know, some sort of color image, or if it's black and white, some sort of image, you know, text on the front page. But in the aftermath of the shooting, a lot of the staff was grieving. I think they were in shock. And, you know, they came to the decision to publish the front page with the masthead, but just fully in black with the date May 24th, 2022 in white. You know, one of the reporters, Julie Keeble, says, you know, it felt like that date was stamped on our brains, so we wanted it to appear that way on the paper. And it was just a moment of darkness, and it resulted in a really stunning cover that I think many people around the country saw and remember.
It's iconic. I want to read an email we got from a listener. It says, they're obviously heartbreaking, there are no words. However, with all due respect, blaming law enforcement, school superintendents, and the city is short-sighted. They are all scapegoats. Are they trained for war in schools? If anyone is to be blamed or sued, it should be lawmakers, gun manufacturers, gun lobbyists, and all those holding this entire community, a country, hostage by not enacting gun laws. They are creating this war. Thank you for this great program. You do talk about that, Megan, about gun violence in the documentary.
Sure, we do. One of our main characters, Kimberly Rubio, has become an extremely active advocate nationally for gun legislation, and we follow her path as she moves to both change gun legislation both locally and nationally. You know, she's fighting to change the age in Texas, to raise the age from 18 to 21. And nationally, she's fighting to try to get rid of assault rifles. Kimberly is an incredible person with a lot of strength. She never stopped the whole year that I was with her. She had trips continually back from D.C., Austin, wherever she could go to have her voice heard.
Her daughter, Lexi, was lost in a shooting. You give us the, as we say in the business, the tick-tock. You walk us through that day of how she found out. And it's this heartbreaking. It's this amazing, hard to maintain watching the program and seeing what she went through. And, of course, you know, I've met Kimberly doing my own coverage. So, you know, Tomas, the emotion just comes right off the screen. I mean, that's just incredible that y'all are able to accomplish that. I mean, what's been the reaction?
So far, the reaction has been fairly positive. Of course, everyone says it's quite emotional. You know, it premiered at the Dallas International Film Festival at the end of April, and it actually won the Grand Jury Prize for Best Documentary, which was, for us, something we had never imagined. We just wanted to tell this story and get it out there, and to see that the reception was so great was very moving, you know. And we had a sold out theater when it premiered, full of people from the local area in Dallas, and being able to interact with them and have the story resonate with them was very meaningful.
And Megan Street, working with Kimberly and the Kimberly Rubio in this project. I mean, she was very available, and she really wants the world to know what she's going through. Can you talk about that?
Working with both Kim and Felix was, I would say, a life-changing event for me. I'm so grateful to them that they trusted us with the story of Lexi. I would say, particularly for me with Kim, I'm a mom, she's a mom, and I think that one of the things that's her goal is to make sure that no other mothers go through this. You know, this was a difficult process to decide in her life to invite cameras in to witness what they went through. I'm so glad that they did, but I know that it wasn't an easy thing to do day in and day out. What I can say about Kim is she's extremely smart. She has got a lot of stamina to keep up on this fight, and she's really an incredible mom. And I think covering them was something that I will never forget.
And also, Megan, you know, this is year two, and there will be, the story still needs to be covered and told, and there's still more developments. One of the parts of the settlement that they negotiated, that they announced today, was there would be a memorial downtown. They want a annual day of remembrance in Uvalde. But, you know, moving forward, where do you see this, how Uvalde will be remembered 10 years from now, 20, 50 years from now?
You know, I don't have the details exactly of what happened today. I just received a quick news brief about this before we got on with you. We happened to be up in New York trying to get this documentary out on Friday. Yeah. So I don't have all the details. Tomas, do you have more of the details?
Well, I mean, like, what do you think about it in the long run? I mean, do you think 50 years from now, people are still, or will be talking about Uvalde and about the failure of it and the loss, that will still be something that people will remember?
I do. I think that seeing the images that we saw in the hallway are going to be things that are just sort of seared in your memory. I think it's going to be a really difficult school shooting to forget, and probably for some of the worst reasons. I think it's just something you can't turn away from. And unfortunately, it's just taken too long to get to the real facts of the story.
Megan Street, Tomas Navidia. They are producers of the documentary Print It Black from ABC News. It will premiere Friday night at 8 p.m. on ABC Live, their streaming system, and it will be on Hulu as well. Thank you both for coming on and telling us about your project.
Thank you for having us.
When we come back from the break, we'll be joined by Craig Garrett. He is the owner and publisher of the Uvalde Leader News, talking about 2 years of coverage of this horrible tragedy. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The EarthX 2024 Environmental and Sustainability Congress of Conferences is happening in Dallas, April 22nd through the 26th. bringing together all sides with one important mission, protect our planet. For info, earthx.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're continuing our conversation about 2 years commemoration of the tragic shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde. 19 students, 2 teachers were killed. We're now joined by Craig Garnett. He's the owner and publisher of the Uvalde Leader News. And Craig, welcome to The Source. It's great to have you on.
Thank you, Dave. I'm happy to be here.
So we had breaking news today that 19 Uvalde families are announcing a settlement with the city of Uvalde, but they're also going to be filing lawsuits against the DPS, the state law enforcement officers agency, and the school district. So the story continues. I know I can't get your reaction to, you know, is this good, bad, or whatever, but what does this do for, you know, your coverage of, like, of the community, the city? You have to cover not just the shooting, you cover the entire community of Uvalde day in and day out. So can you show us what that looks like?
Well, there's been a lot of multitasking over the last 2 years, as you might guess. And this investigation, this historic unraveling, has taken so many turns. And some days it seems like we're just being whipped from one point to the other. But to today's news, we have hoped that there would be a memorial established sooner than later. And so many mass shootings like Sandy Hook and Parkland, it took years and years and years for the families and the other officials to settle on a memorial. So that's good news to me. In fact, we've editorialized on a couple of occasions that we hope that the memorial could be chosen as a bridge to the future and a recognition of what these kids were and what they suffered.
Reaching a settlement with the city of Uvalde means they don't have to go through a lawsuit process. That's something that, you know, is probably good for the community. I've heard that the families did not want to do anything that would really harm the city of Uvalde. You know, they wanted, you know, to have a healthy, vibrant community that's, you know, and a city that's able to do its job. So do you see this as like, okay, this is probably the best for the city and the community?
I think it is. I think it's the best for them too. I think that they wanted the police force to be reorganized, for people who were in that hallway to be terminated. Above all, that was the thing they sought the most fervently. And I think to come to terms with a settlement and put most of that behind them is a relief to them, as it is to the city and the rest of us in the community.
Also, part of the settlement is asking for better training. So, you know, the objective is to create a safer community.
Absolutely. And the new police chief has been tasked with that very thing, to reorganize, to retrain, to re-equip, to look at some of the personnel who were at Robb and to see if they actually merit remaining on the force. So those are all good things.
And rebuilding faith and trust, because that was lost with the response.
Absolutely. That was a perfect disaster.
So here you are covering this event. No media organization, I don't care how big you are and well-funded you are and what you got going on, is ever ready for this type of an event happening in your community. You got to go cover it. And not only are you covering it, but one of your own staffers is directly impacted by it, and someone that, you know, everyone so close. I mean, this is, talk about trying to repair an airplane while still in the air, or, you know, that metaphor that I've heard before. You are trying to cover this tragedy while part of it. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, in a nutshell, it was beyond difficult. For the first week or two, it was tears every day, and worried as much about Kimberly as we were about, more about Kimberly than we were about ourselves or perhaps the community, but we were able to focus and to move forward with coverage that we had done for decades. It just had a different name. So we didn't have to reinvent that wheel, but we did have to corral our emotions and to refocus that into some kind of energy that we could direct at getting to the bottom of what happened. We have wondered what the death of Lexi did to us in terms of objectivity. I think we maintained that, and I think probably Kimberly's suffering reinvigorated us to do the right thing, to dig more deeply, to not flag in our efforts.
So how did y'all police that, okay, how do we maintain our objectivity when there's so much anger, which is, rational anger, I will call it, because of what happened and the response? How do y'all continue to say, okay, well, we still have to print these, both sides, keep it clean, keep it clear, not get emotional? How did y'all, that seems difficult in that situation.
It was very difficult, and it still is, honestly. But we recognize that this community comprises a number of different groups, socioeconomic, ethnic, class, and we have an obligation to cover all of it in a way that is satisfactory to all readers, if that's even feasible.
Yeah, I was really, watching the documentary from ABC News, Printed Black, and then you come on and you immediately acknowledge the fact that there is a class divide, a racial divide in Uvalde. And to me, it's so evident, from my experiences there, which, I've been covered things there, but not a lot, but I know a little bit about it. That needed to be acknowledged. And I think in a lot of coverage has not been acknowledged.
Well, and some coverage is more superficial than others, and some people don't have the opportunity to understand Uvalde as we do after 40 plus years. So that can be excused, I think, to some extent. You really have to be immersed in the community.
So your paper, Uvalde Leader News, you're not part of a chain. So you're the owner and the publisher of the. So when something like this happens, if you're part of a chain, maybe you might get extra resources. Did anyone come and say if you need extra reporters or anything to help you throughout that time?
I sure did. And we're members of the Texas Press Association and the South Texas Press Association, and our colleagues called, emailed, texted, offered to come, offered to send reporters, editors. In fact, we got a reporter from Fredericksburg who came in for 2 weeks to help us out. So we had lots of offers of physical support, not to mention morale-boosting support.
You say on the program, Printed Black, that you were worried about your staff at times. Why? Tell me about that. Why were you worried? What were you worried about?
Well, Dave, they were brokenhearted, by the immensity of the tragedy. These 21 people, and Lexi, Kimberly's daughter, who Kimberly went to work for us as a 21-year-old in 2010, and she had Lexi the following October. Lexi was, part of our family. So they were all suffering what in my mind was certainly PTSD, and I encouraged them to get therapy. There was plenty of therapy available, and I think one of our staff members eventually did, and then I think they fired their therapist because the therapist suggested that they didn't care enough to have it. So It was difficult, but they channeled that also into their work, and we supported each other.
Well, I've been in newsrooms, and newsrooms can be tense at times. You're dealing with a lot of folks who have to work in Congress to get out a product. Sometimes everyone is stressed out to the gills. What do you do to break the tension?
Well, we have this amazing camaraderie that is, I don't know, born of all these years together working under stress and a genuine love of each other. And I think, and I mentioned this probably in the film, I don't recall, but if we hadn't been that close-knit prior to Rob, we never would have survived. And, you know, so much laughter at odd moments that we could take in without being disrespectful. I mean, you know, journalists are irreverent. Mm-hmm. I think you know that. And not to the point of being insensitive. But we have some people on our staff who have great levity and great love. And that was directed also at Kimberly. And I think one of the reasons she wanted to come back to work was because she recognized that she would be embraced and feel that.
We're going to take a break here. Our phone lines are open if you got a question or comment. Did you start subscribing to the Uvalde Leader News after the tragic shooting? I know I did. In order to go through the archive and to keep up on what's happening there. And tell us about your experience. The number 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You could also send us an email to thesource@tpr.org, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies, having a conversation with Craig Garnett. He is the owner and publisher of the Uvalde Leader News. It is the subject of a new ABC News documentary that is called Printed Black, looking at how the local community newspaper was impacted by the shooting, how it covered the shooting, and the resulting fallout controversies. If you've got a question, give us a call, 833-877-8255. So, Craig, the Printed Black is a reference to the newspaper that y'all put out after the shooting, and it was the black ink with the date in large font in white in the upper part of the frame. Why did y'all decide to do that? What was your reaction to the staff saying, "Let's do this"?
Well, I'm kind of an old school guy, and my thought was that you present your best journalism, your best reporting on the front page, and we had some excellent, terribly disturbing, excellent photographs. We had a story that was put together the day after the shooting, which was our deadline for the Thursday paper, May 26th paper. And our staff said that I had a meeting with our managing editor, and I said, "Meg, what's the front page look like?" Which is my normal question. And she said, "We think black, Craig." I said, "You mean just black, as in black front page, nothing else?" She said, "Yeah." She's Melissa Betterspill, and I think black will best portray what happened at Rob and how we feel. And it will also protect families, because if we run a picture on the front page of children fleeing the fourth grade classroom, the parents of kids who did not get away will be devastated. And I said, "Well, let me think about that. And I thought about it for about 5 minutes, and I went back down and I said, "You're right. It's going to be black." My only request was that we have the date in white somewhere. The date of the shooting, and that's what we got.
So it brings up an interesting quality of local community paper. You know, lots of newspapers will have the facts, you know, they cut it off the wire, they do all this, you know, but you have a different role. You are not just reporting the facts, but you are reflecting the community and back into itself. You are helping the community process and emote. what happened that day. Has that role, had you thought about that role before, or is it now evident?
No, I think most community publishers are fully aware of the fact that they're holding up a mirror for their community. And it depends sometimes on how you hold that mirror as to what reflection the community receives. In our case, after this shooting, we knew that, particularly as the days ticked by, that the thing we were going to be reflecting back was not going to be that pretty as it pertained to some of our institutions. We regretted that. We wrote many pieces about being saddened by the fact that law enforcement had not performed up to their sworn duty that day. We were sad that the school district had not been more progressive in terms of security and that other things had not taken place. So, yeah, I never had any disillusion or any illusions about what my job was.
Sure.
You know, our task and our greatest hurdle was to come to terms with the fact that we were not going to be a happy reflection for many weeks to come.
The documentary Printed Black is also a look at how of journalism, small town journalism, and the health of it these days. We know obviously that the newspapers are closing all over the country, and it was actually a relief to find out that the Uvalde Leader News was still not only functioning, but robust and aggressive, and you guys were on the job that day. But other cities of your size, and many of them would not have had a local newspaper.
No, that's true. And actually, that was one of the primary reasons we agreed to collaborate with ABC News on this documentary, is that we wanted that story about the importance of local journalism to gain a wider audience. We wanted the nation to see what it looks like for a paper to commit to a role that they're destined to undertake.
Beyond just writing about the Coyotes volleyball team or football team, but writing about, what's going on with the local policy and things that may not be comfortable, that's the hard part of the local newspapers, is sometimes telling the stories that many in the community don't want to read.
Yeah, that is, in fact, Dave, the hardest part is writing stories that a large segment of your readership will not want to see or hear about. And that's, publishers like myself all over the country don't relish that particular role, but it's kind of what you sign up for.
Right. People, they call it a homer. You want a homer newspaper. So
yeah.
just cheering how great we are. Our economy is great. We're turning things around. The local chamber of commerce has got it under control. Ignore the boarded up buildings in downtown. And you can't do that. I mean, it seems like, you're taking a more direct approach. And you have to cover the fact that it was the local police department or the school district that came up short that day, that Pete Arredondo had been busy running for city council when he should have been preparing for an event like this.
Yeah, that's right. We wrote an editorial. I wrote an editorial in 2018 saying that the school district had no business creating a police department, that in a town our size, the Valley Police can get to any campus in 2 minutes, which is the truth, and that's exactly what happened on May 24. They were there within 2 minutes, and the school police force was not even a real department, as we learned later.
It was only had been in existence for less than 2 years at the time.
4 years at the time, but okay. They didn't have an acting policy manual. They didn't have a protocol. They didn't have routine meetings. They were a police department in name only.
Hmm. I'm going to go to a caller really quick before we run out of time here. We have, Walter. Walter, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to say that I was involved personally in Uvalde, and that's near and dear to my heart. I was vice president at the time, and I'm still involved with Therapy Animals of San Antonio. We provided, our group provided therapy dogs to help the counselors work with the kids there at the Civic Center. And but moreover, I just wanted to say that I hope that they get justice with the Texas DPS, in particular the Texas Rangers, who come across as top of the food chain in law enforcement, and they botched that system up there. And you know, we all remember the news conference where they basically said they came, conquered, and took control and took out the shooter, and turned out to be Border Patrol that did that. But also, I mean, I've seen firsthand how the Texas Rangers act in situations, and you and I talked before about my family tragedy, and I just wanted to say that I saw it firsthand again in Uvalde. It just hurts.
Well, thank you, Walter, for calling. I appreciate that. So, Craig Garnett, given that your newspaper, Uvalde Leader News, is proven to be so vital, and that we need to have more local newspapers, community newspapers like that across the country, how are the books looking these days?
Well, you know, the books aren't great, and we just reduced our frequency of publication to once a week at the beginning of January, and that's the first time that's happened in 75 years. So local journalism is in danger, Dave. People do not seem to care enough to plug in and get what's truly properly vetted news. They prefer social media, and I get that, and that's just a reality all across our nation. So we don't know quite how to bridge that particular obstacle. We're working diligently with all kinds of digital projects and other things that we think can capture some of these younger readers that are not in tune with newspaper reporting or media reporting. So it's a problem.
If you figure it out, let me know.
I would love to.
Because
you do the
it's
same,
not,
please.
Because we're all trying to figure that out ourselves. So what we Uvalde Leader News, obviously you're hyper vigilant. You know, it's all what we're trying to figure out. I mean, there's always reports of people calling bomb threats and candidates for Congress leaving behind unexploded devices behind. You know, so you guys are you have a lot going on still.
No, we do. We have a tremendous amount going on. And I'm just going to have to leave you with a pithy comment from our general manager, Pete Luna. He said, you know, there's no guarantee that we're not going to close. But if we do close, it won't be because we were crappy.
Right. Because you have been obviously on the job getting it done. You can watch the documentary from ABC News, Printed Black, and you can see for yourself. Craig Garnett, thank you so much for joining us, owner and publisher of the Uvalde Leader News. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dave.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.